Timothy chapter number 2.
But we were talking in the last preaching session, and of course that little hook, all right? And that little green hook, this one's purple, all right? But and about kind of ended the message with, this is like your life. And actually, a friend of mine has one that's shaped like a letter F and an L. And there's lots of different shapes they make that work. They even make some birds that work on the same principle. And you can has the wings on it, you know, and different things like that. And that's our life. But our life without the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We're empty. We're void.
And I want to speak to you this afternoon about your life. And
I am speaking probably to those that desire for their life to be what God wants it to be.
I think sometimes when we go to activities like this, everybody preaches to the young people that are rebels. And those that are trying to serve God, they're like, well, that was nice, but they didn't get any food, all right? That's kind of like, you know, missing the people that are trying to serve God. So if you're here today and you're just a rebel, I'm sorry for you, all right? And because God says you're in bad shape, you're in trouble. And I've actually, in my life, I don't spend a lot of time trying to chase the rebels. I let them go their own way. When they hit the bottom of the pile, then they look up and they say, I need help. And I've told young people that. I said, you know what? If you want to live that life, go ahead and live it. Because not only are you not happy living a false life, but your parents aren't happy. Your pastor isn't happy. The whole youth group isn't happy. It'd be better if you just go live like a rebel and die and go to jail or whatever. And we'll cry and then we'll go on with life. You say, that's kind of cold-hearted. Well, we all die someday, right?
And why should you make everybody else's life miserable because you're a rebel? And study your Bible. The prodigal son, the father didn't try to keep him around. He said, there's your stuff, bye-bye.
And so I'm not preaching to that type of person today. And if that's you, I pray for you. And I'm sure your pastors and youth pastors pray for you. And you can fake out everybody else, but you can't fake out God. And he knows your heart. And someday you'll stand before God. He'll say, depart from me. And you'll wish that you would have responded to the word of God.
But I want to talk to those of you that are saying, you know what, I don't want to be that way.
I really do want to be what God wants me to be. Because I believe there are young people that want to do that. I believe there are young people that, because I don't know if you were made to come here today or if your parents, but it seems to me like most of you are saying, well, I'm glad I'm here, had a good time. I mean, after all, we're not doing anything real fancy, right?
I mean, think about it, what we did today. We played Nine Square, you slid down a slide, we took pictures and put them on YouTube. Everybody's laughing at you around the world right now. And isn't that funny thing about the internet? I mean, before you get home, they already know what you did, you know? When I was a kid, we had to telegraph home, you know, and say, hey, we got troubles. Now, that's Brother Dave, I'm sorry, but no. But today, people know what you're doing
as you're doing this live feed, you know, and if you make a mistake, you can't make up an excuse because it's already there. And but really, I'm just saying, we didn't do anything real fancy. We had preaching for 45 minutes earlier, and I'm preaching for about 30 minutes right now. And we ate nachos and cheese. Now, that's pretty all right, amen, especially with all the extra stuff on top of it. And but really, when you think about it, it's not really anything wow fancy. And I don't mean that in a wrong way, because I don't think you have to have wow fancy when you love the Lord.
I've worked with youth for a long time, and I've learned that just simple things in the Word of God is what builds a youth group. When I'm in South Africa, young people come because they want to hear the Bible. And we're so blessed over here because we have so much. I wish that you could understand what so many of those people don't have. And we just baptized some young people in the church there in Kluwer, South Africa. The boy got baptized back in September, October, November. And then his two sisters got baptized just a couple weeks before we came back. And they've been coming to the church since they were small. And they got saved. And they just got baptized. It was a miracle they got baptized. I was shocked to find out they were able to get baptized because their grandmother's a witch doctor. They call them a Sangama. If you go to their house, they'll play the drums and try to draw up the spirits. They don't like us to come around. Been very amazing that those kids stay faithful to the Lord. And there's another young boy. He's one of my favorite little friends named Sianda. And he's just a small guy. And I was out of town for a couple weeks. And my mother, daughter, Ashley, I told him, I said, listen, I call him Soldier. And I said, Soldier, I said, when I'm gone, you got to take care of my daughters. I said, so you come by every day and call their name, make sure they're around. And of course he did every morning. Ashley, Ashley. Every afternoon, Ashley. I said, I'll give you 10 rands, like a dollar, you know. Man, every day they said he came. They came. They wanted to give him money to quit coming. And so right before I left, they actually have Krispy Kremes in South Africa now. And so if you want to come to the mission field, we got them, amen. Krispy Kremes is right there, about an hour from our house. And but I was flying out, I was at the airport, so I went there and got Krispy Kremes for our institute students. But I got a little box of three fancy Krispy Kremes. I mean, the real decorative ones, you know, a three-pack. And I told my daughter Ashley, I said, you give it to Sianda when you get home. And I didn't tell her that I told him I was going
to
do that
if he'd come by the whole time I'm gone. And no, I didn't do that to her. But she gave it to him. He looked at that three box of donuts. This is the funniest thing. He said, now I'm a policeman, because this is what policemen eat.
So Hollywood has had its effect even in Africa. But, you know, we are so blessed with everything that God has given us. And I believe there are young people here, and you want your life to be what God wants it to be. And maybe it might be someday pastoring a church. Maybe it might be an evangelist or a missionary. We need missionaries. I could take you to countries in the world where there are very few missionaries. I was just in Zimbabwe. The best of my knowledge, there's two Americans that are missionaries, that are independent Baptists, that are there in the country. One of them is over 60. The other one's 70-some years of age. There's no one else in the country. They just had the cyclone. Hundreds of people died. It's wide open. The pastors keep asking, will somebody come and help us? Will somebody come and help us? And there are places like Rwanda, very few missionaries there. Namibia, I know of only one there. Many places where there's great needs. And I pray that God will call young people to go. But if he doesn't call you to go, then you shouldn't go. Amen. And maybe he wants you to be the next person in your church that drives the youth group, you know, an hour to a youth rally somewhere. Maybe he wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe he wants you just to be the person that comes in and makes sure the church is all clean on Sunday, or a nursery worker.
Maybe he wants you to get a job and support the missionaries. All those are wonderful things. The important thing is that you become what God wants you to become. And the problem is we start out a mess. All of us do. None of us start out good. I brought some things just to show you really quickly. I love one of the things I love about traveling is I've been in many, many countries. I've flown around the world over 25 different times now. And I just collect things. I love to get things. And this one got broken, unfortunately. But I like this little, this is a little car that they made out of a pop can. You know, they cut it all up and they got broke. But, you know, it's amazing how they can just take nothing and make something out of it. These are made by little kids. And they take wire. And, you know, they just take a piece of wire and they'll start twisting it and shaping it. And I like this one because it got bent. The problem with traveling in an RV is that everything gets wrecked. But it's kind of neat because it actually works, you know. And the guy just took a piece of wire and out in the village somewhere, he just twisted and bent and bent and bent. And they make beautiful things. These are my bird collections. I have a lot of these, and I love to collect them. And that takes a lot of time to make. They bead all that and then weave it all together. It's just wire and beads. And they can take wood, just take a block of wood, and they don't carve that with a fancy knife. Usually that's carved with just a piece of steel, maybe a couple of pieces of steel rod, and they just carefully carve it and chip it out and make all types of different things. I like this little guy right here. He's a frog, and you've probably seen one of these maybe in your life, a real frog maybe, but I like it because it helps you to go to sleep at night, you know, when it's raining, all right? And there's all types of crazy things, you know. I like this chameleon friend of mine. And just lots of different things. I have this guy in my pocket. I picked him up as I came out the house. Little hippo keychain. And he's got this one here is just copper wire. It's kind of hard to see from out there. But isn't that a cute little chameleon? And just a little piece of wire and steel wire. And then they wrap the copper around it and make it. And but all of these things are made from just scraps a lot of times. They can take pop bottles and make cars, all types of fun stuff. I can never get those kids to sell me their little cars they make out of the 2-liter bottles. And they like those things. They play with them a lot. But that's how our life is. It's really nothing until you put it in the hand of someone that can create it into something beautiful. Probably most people have heard the story of the song about the old violin and the touch of the master's hand. Well, that is our life. And so read with me here, if you have your place in your Bible, chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. And we'll pick up the reading in verse number 19. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Period, right there. And that's why I gave up a long time ago worrying about those that don't care. Because there's, you know, 6, almost 7 billion people in this world, and some people do care. And God knows, and we should be trying to reach them and help them. And it goes on and he says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, willful sin. You say you're a Christian and you have no hunger for God and you just keep going your own way. And I'm not talking about stumbling into sin or learning new things that are wrong, but just having a heart that says, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm just going to live my own life.
The Bible says if you name the name of Christ, depart from that attitude.
And then in verse 20 it says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. There is a mixed group of vessels, some honorable, some not. And verse 21 says, if a man therefore, pardon me, purge himself from these. Well, what is he supposed to purge himself from? Those things that are iniquity, those things that are dishonorable. The Bible says he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and here's the statement, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. God created your life for a purpose. And you either become what God created it to be, or you don't. And I wonder how much of God's work hurts because people don't allow them or allow God to make them what he wants to make them. Whatever that is to be. They're not allowing God to shape and mold their life. And he goes on in the next verse and he gives us some good commands. Flee youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity. He goes on with those things. But I want to come back to that thought. A vessel prepared unto honor and meet for the master's use. Let's pray and then we'll look at this afternoon. Father in heaven, I pray you'd help us now in the next few minutes of time, Lord, to take the verse from the scriptures and the simple illustration, God, to our heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to become, Lord, what you want us to become. Lord, I believe there are young men, young ladies here tonight, that God, you have a plan for their life. You've a purpose for them. Lord, this world could last for many years. And God, they need to be the ones that are carrying the mantle, fulfilling the calling that you've placed. And Lord, I pray you'd strengthen them for that. And Lord, even today, Lord, you have a purpose for their life. Lord, a purpose for their existence. So help us to see that. Help me to say your word the way you want it spoken. And Lord, guide the message. Help our ears to be hearing. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in these verses this afternoon. I will reference some verses, but I'm going to tell you a story and make a little bit of an illustration because I think it'll help us to remember the truth that is here. And so I brought something in this afternoon, and what is this? Yeah, it depends on where you're from. Some people say trash can, garbage can, refuse can, all right? It has a lot of different names. Why is it called that? You ever thought about that? Why do you call that a garbage can? You say, because I was raised in America and that's what my mama taught me. All right? All right? But seriously, why is it a garbage can? I want you to think about that for just a moment. And because when I was a kid, I grew up in Colorado, and we went to a small school for a little while, and we had a gymnasium, not a full gymnasium, but a small gymnasium in our school. And my dad was working in the school a little bit. My mom was working in the school. And so there was a lot of times we were after school, and we had a job, and one of my jobs was to pick up after school because my friends were all, you know, ignorant or something. And they never picked up the basketballs, the volleyballs, and all those things. And you'd walk in the gymnasium, and there'd be 20 or 30 balls laying around there because people left them everywhere. And my dad would always say before we left the church, he'd say, Bill, go pick up all the balls, you know. And so I'd go pick them all up, and we'd put them there. And they were always not where they were supposed to be. And one day my dad told me, he said, go out to the garage or the shed. He said, go out to the shed. There's an old trash can out there. And he said, get that trash can. And he said, clean it up and put those balls in there so that they'll be picked up. And so I did. I did what he told me to do. And so we went out and I got that trash can and I put it there. And I put it full of the balls and I put it right by the door there. And life was great for about a week. And then my dad came to me and he said, Bill, go get that garbage can that's got the balls in it. And he said, go clean it out. I thought, what's he talking about? So I walked into the gymnasium and I went looking. There it was. And I looked in that trash can. And like I told you, my friends weren't very smart. Because you know what that trash can was full of? It was full of garbage. It looked a lot like this trash can, you know? Full of things like this. By the way, anybody hungry? I got some stuff here. This is a nice one right there. All right. And it was full of scraps and leftover food and all. Don't worry, if I'm touching that, I'm not going to make you. It's just that I've been around the world, okay? And I've eaten things you can't describe. My favorite meal in India. You want to know it? We just ate, so you'll love it, all right? And so I've been all over India. And in India, you got to be real careful. The water make you sick. I've had friends in India lose a lung. I've had friends get deathly sick over there eating the wrong food. And so I used to go to this group, and the guy I was with was very careful to never eat the Indian food because he wouldn't get sick. Well, I'd eat some of it here and there, there and there. One day we were in a village, and as a long story, it was a village where the leader had gotten saved, and they'd killed some of the Christians, and he got saved. And so after he got saved, they wanted to have a meal, and so they brought a meal to us, and we really felt we should eat it. So we ate that meal, and my friend's going on and on about, that is the best Indian food I've ever ate. And he's carrying on and on about it. And so I'm asking him, like, who made this food? And they said, oh, we got it from a restaurant. They catered it in, you know? And I'm like, oh, catered in. So we're all eating the food. Well, then I got up to go use the restroom. They have outhouses out there. You know what an outhouse is, right? How many of you have an outhouse at your house? No, don't raise your hand. All right, yeah, all right, very good, all right. Okay, an outhouse, all right? And so I walked through the outhouse, and a little bit different than American because the toilet's just like built into the floor. You don't have a toilet, right? And I walked in the outhouse, and all that food we were eating was sitting there next to it was in the outhouse on the floor. And that's where they'd served it to us from. And there was flies all over it. I just started laughing. I walked back to my friend and said, hey, man, if you need to rest, you better go and check it out. He about died, all right? And so it doesn't bother me to pick up this trash, all right? So anyhow, but I'll wash my hands before I shake yours. But I remember that trash can looking at that thing and thinking, what is wrong with these people? I mean, it was full of, you know, bubble gum stuck in there, leftover pizza stuff. So I took it outside, cleaned it up, put the balls back in it, stuck it by the door. And I don't know, a few days went by, and guess what my dad said to me again? Hey, Bill, go clean out the trash can. And it became a ritual for a little while of me cleaning out the trash can. And trust me, then you have things like you go to play basketball, and you grab your basketball, and it's got somebody's leftover pizza pocket on it, you know? I mean, it was just a problem. And that's a lot like our life. You see, because the problem was that can was known as a what? A garbage can. Do you know why this is called a garbage can? Because it's what it's commonly used for. Right? And so I had to think this through. I took that trash can, and let me ask you a question. If you want to change this garbage can into something else, what's the first thing you have to do? Clean it out. How many of you think clean it out is a good answer? You're all wrong. All right? Because I already did that with the garbage can. I cleaned it out. If you want to change this from being a garbage can, here's the first thing you have to do. You have to stop putting garbage in. Because how many of you clean garbage cans at your house? All right. So cleaning a garbage can will not change it from what? Being a garbage can. If you clean the garbage can, you just have a clean garbage can. I cleaned a lot of garbage cans in my life, all right? And man, I know what it's like to walk over and the bottom of the garbage can is moving, you know? It's called maggots, all right? And hoo-wee, the only way to get them things out of there is to... But you know what it still is? It's still a garbage can. So if you don't want it to be a garbage can, you have to stop putting garbage in. Now that's what the Bible says about Timothy. Now remember, here's where we all start out in life. How many of you got saved? You got saved? All right. Before you got saved, do you know what you were? You were a sinner. Isn't that right? You were a lost sinner on your way to the eternal lake of fire. You were under the wrath of God, but God in his mercy shined unto you, and you believed on him, and you became a new creature. You became a new vessel, but you still have a problem called sin, don't you? Isn't that right? But you know what? We're supposed to work at stopping our sin. We really are. We're supposed to fight the battle of the flesh and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God and conquer the flesh through the power of the Word of God. And this is an amazing thought. We are to stop sinning. Now, you will never stop all your sin because you don't know all your sin today, all right? And when you stop and get some victories in your life, God will say, "Woo, that's great. Now let me help you with the next one." Amen? And the closer you get to God, you're going to find out things, like I said, about pleasing God. You're going to find out you were doing things and doing things and doing things. And God is so great. He's so loving. He's so merciful. He's so kind. I'm glad he doesn't dump everything on us at once. But all of a sudden in your Christian life, as you grow, you're going to say, "I can't believe that I did that. God doesn't like that. I got to clean that out of my eye." And so the first thing is you've got to stop putting the garbage in. Now, my problem with that garbage can that I was trying to do the balls, it had a problem. I really didn't want people to put garbage in it. In fact, I even put a sign on the thing. I put a sign on that said, ball can only. You know? No trash. But my friends weren't smart. They couldn't read, all right? All right? They weren't homeschooled, all right? But anyhow, that was a joke. Those of you that aren't laughing, take it, all right? But it didn't help. They still did. And I want you to think for just a second. Why do you think they kept putting garbage in it? Let me tell you why. It's because of where I had it placed. I had it placed right inside the door. And there was a sign in our gymnasium right above it. And you know what that sign said? It said, no food or drink. And right inside the door is a former garbage can. So what do you think's happening? My friends could read after all. No, they couldn't read. We told them what that said. And they knew the rule. If you were caught in there with food and drinks, guess what? You were banished for like a week. And so everybody knew when you walked in, you had to get rid of your food and drink. Guess where I put the ball can? You know why I put it there? Because I was thinking that when they left the gym, they could put the balls in the ball can. Makes sense, right? Makes sense, but not with my friends. Because they put the balls in there, but they put the trash in there too. So you know what I had to do? I take the trash can. And I put it on the other side of the gymnasium. Guess what happened? Very few trash. The only thing I found in it then was chewing gum once in a while. Because somebody was playing a game, went, you know. But I want you to think about how simple that was. Was that complex? It was simple, wasn't it? How many of you have a problem with sin? Liars, keep your hands down. Because everybody has a problem with sin. If you don't, you don't know God. Because God's holy. And when you look at God, you fall on your face and you say, woe is me, for I am undone. Remember, I'm talking to people who have a heart that wants to please God. And when you have a heart that wants to please God, you're always looking at your life and you're saying, man, I got a problem with sin. I got a problem with attitude. I got a problem with my obedience. I got a problem with thoughts. I got a problem with laziness. I got a problem with, you know how we tell our little lies. I don't know what your problem is, but we all have a problem with sin. That's why the Bible says, let us lay aside every sin, all right? And the weights which do so easily beset us. We all have problems with sin. But I find it amazing how many times people say, man, I just got a problem with sin. I can't get the victory over it. I just can't get the victory over it. I just can't get the victory. And pretty soon they just accept it. And pretty soon they just set their life there and they let the devil dump the garbage in. They let the devil dump the garbage in. They let the devil dump the garbage in. And they just say, well, you know, I know it's not supposed to be there. And they just keep cleaning out the same old garbage and put more garbage in, clean out the same old garbage. You know, I mean, and after a while, you know what you do? Remember when you got that garbage can, it was brand new, and you cleaned it like every other day? But after you've had that garbage can for a couple of years, and you go to clean it, how well do you clean it? You know, after you, yeah, thank you. Because after a while, you know that stain doesn't come out so easy. And you just accept it for the way it is. You ever have like a stain on your carpet? I sat in my mom and dad's brand new couch the other day when I was at their house, had grease on my pants. Ah, man, smudged my mom's new couch. It's a good thing I'm old and, you know, have grandkids. She'd kill me. And man, I scrubbed on that thing. I combed the fur the other way so she wouldn't notice it as much, you know. I did tell her, by the way. I said, look what I did, you know. And you know, when you get something brand new and you get a spot on like that, you're like, ah. But after it gets a few spots on it, what do? You accept it, don't you? And here's what happens to good young people who are trying to serve God. After a while, they just accept it. But that's not what God wants. And I'm saying this afternoon, you got to stop putting the garbage in. Whatever that sin is in your life that keeps besetting you, you got to do whatever is necessary. But you'd be surprised that whatever is necessary is probably not as hard as you think it is. I remember I was here many years ago. Remember that kid that burned his Wii or whatever it was out here? One of the boys that was coming to Bible school, and we had a fire, and we were cooking some hot dogs. And he had his Wii game, and he brought it there, and he said, I'm throwing this thing in the fire. And he's talking about how it was wrecking his life, you know. It's just like, does mom know, you know? We're like, burn it, you know. But, I mean, you know, hey, I guarantee he never had any problems with that Wii anymore. I had a friend in college, in a Christian college, in a Bible college, studied to be a pastor, and he had a problem with the wrong type of music. One day I got in his car, and his radio had a screwdriver jammed in it. I mean, it was just busted. I said, what happened? He said, I gave up listening to wrong music. It's effective. I get my point. You just, whatever you got to do, you got to do. You got to say, I don't want the garbage in anymore, so I'm going to do it. I've had young people, and maybe it's their phone, and maybe it's the internet, and it's got a hold of them, or whatever it is, and they just said, you know what? I'm just not going to have a phone anymore. I'm going to have a flip phone only. Amen. You know what they decided to do? Move the can. I don't know what you need to do. But somewhere in your life, you have to get tired of the sin. You have to say, don't accept it. Don't just say, that's the way I am. That's the way our youth group is. That's the way the world is today. Because it's not true. Because God says, you're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be a vessel unto honor. What if I told you we're going to use this tomorrow to serve the chips and nachos in? What would you want it to be like? But this could be a nice serving food for cheese. Could you imagine how much cheese you could put in that? Man, we could ladle with a big one. I mean, and this is what we cook. They call it pop in South Africa. It's like grits, kind of, sort of. And this, they cook in pots this big, man. When you got to feed 500 people, you got to have a big pan. You say, well, I thought it was a garbage can. No, it's only called a garbage can by reason of use. It can become a lot of different things. A lot of Christians' lives have become garbage cans, and we've just accepted it. I'm saying this afternoon, stop accepting it. Whatever it is, just determine. You know, it's something maybe as simple as cheating on your test. Amen? And you know what's wrong, and God's dealing with it. How do you fix it? You go to whoever you got to talk to, and you say, I got a problem with cheating. So put the answer stuff away. Amen? Why? Because I'm moving the garbage can. Don't accept it. You want your life to be changed. Now, back to my story. So I moved the garbage can over there. Life was great. Life was great. But I noticed something after a little while. We'd be in the gym. We'd be all done playing. And somebody'd say, all right, let's go, and whatever. And they say, hey, throw all the balls in the garbage can over there. And they grab all the balls. They throw them in the garbage can. And the balls got picked up. I went away, I came back, actually it was 3-4 years later, came back there, worked in that church for a little while as a youth director. I went in that gym, and that old can was still sitting over there on the other side. Somebody had taken a marker and wrote on it now, ball can, you know. But after the first night of the youth activity that I was there, and I didn't think about this till later on in the year, but we got all done and I heard some of the kids say, hey, grab all the balls and put them in the ball can. I didn't think about that night. Later, I was thinking about it. And I thought, you know what that used to be? It used to be called a garbage can. In fact, we used to use it for garbage. We used to clean up leaves and stuff. And one day, my dad said, get that thing from the shed. And it got changed. But when I left there, they still called it a garbage can. But by reason of use, it soon became called the ball can. That's my simple message this afternoon, young person.
God wants you to be a vessel of honor. You were lost. You were a sinner. You were just an old filthy garbage can, and God saved you.
And he started working in your life. And if you'll stop putting the garbage in, if you'll let God clean you out, and if you'll start letting your life be used repeatedly for things that are righteous and holy, it's not just about being an honorable vessel, but it's about where someone in your life, somebody says, look at that person. That is an honorable vessel. It's kind of like when they called them Christians in Antioch. After all that time with Christ, they said, those people are like Christ. And so this afternoon, as you think about it, you're going home, you're going your way. Could I ask you a question this afternoon? Are you a vessel meet for the master's use? Because God can use your life in a wonderful way.
God has a purpose.
I don't know what that purpose is.
But I do know this much.
He didn't create you to be a garbage can. He created you to be a vessel unto honor. A vessel to be used for his kingdom. A vessel to be used for his glory. A vessel to be used for his majesty. Satan wants your life to be like this. This is not an honorable vessel. You say, well, yeah, but it's got a good purpose. It's holding the garbage. The world's full of garbage containers. God's looking for from vessels of honor. And young person, I want to challenge you today. I don't know what in your life people are throwing in.
But if you're going to be a vessel of honor, you do have to stop. You do have to stop that sin. And can I just say something you'll do with the rest of your life? If I ask any of these pastors or youth pastors, is there any sin in your life that you're working on today? If they're an honest person, you know what they're going to say? Yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask them to name their sin. You know why? Because it's actually not real nice to talk about garbage. It's better just to get rid of it. But you'll do it the rest of your life. The rest of your life, you're going to find out, ooh, that doesn't need to be in my life. I need God to help me get it aside. Why? Because he's making me a vessel of honor. Have you ever ate on a golden plate before? Could you imagine sitting at a table and those plates? I've been to England. I've seen the Queen's crowns. I've seen those beautiful platters and stuff. Didn't get to eat on them, but I got to see them. It's pretty amazing to look at all of those vessels. They're amazing. Well, that's what God wants your life to be. And it can be. If you'll let him clean you up, if you'll change that change, time will change everything. You might even have a bad reputation. You might have done some things, and now everybody says, oh, they're a liar, they're cheap, they're this, they're that. I'm so glad that can be changed. You know how it gets changed? You let God. You keep doing what's right. And watch what God changes. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me this afternoon? Father in heaven, well, it's a very simple message, a simple truth. But God, as Pastor Matt mentioned earlier, we don't want to just let things come in our ears and go out our ears. God, we do need to make decisions in our life. And Lord, that is the purpose of this time period right now, to make a decision. Father, to talk to you specifically about something in our life, an area we need to surrender, an area we need to confess. Father, maybe an area we need to change. And Father, there could be someone that needs to talk to you about salvation, being born again. And God, I pray they would do that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around. An invitation is a personal time between you and God. I'm just going to ask our pianist to come and play a song in just a moment. Outwardly, we can do many things, and they don't mean much. But I do believe it's very helpful in our life to make decisions when God speaks to us. And that's why we have an invitation time. I'm not impressed or depressed by what people do outwardly, because I know it's the heart that matters. But I think when you hear the word of God, you should take the time to do what God says. And so previously what God spoke to you about, right now what God has spoken to you about, maybe God is telling you to make that simple step, move the vessel, stop that sin. This is the thing you need to work on. I want to challenge you to talk to God about it, respond to him and say, yes, Lord. I want to challenge you that if you're really struggling and you say, you know, I've tried and it just seems to keep getting a hold of me, then you need to go get some help. And go to your youth director, your pastor, and just say, I need some help in this area. Could we talk about it when I get home? I really want to talk to you about something in my life. And if you sit in here and you say, Brother Bill, I don't even know that I'm really saved. I'm not a Christian. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Then I would challenge you just to go find your youth leader, your pastor, and just say, listen, I'd like to talk about salvation, because that can't wait till you get home. Because nobody knows when life is over. And that needs to be settled today. So we're going to stand very quietly to our feet. Our heads will be bowed, our eyes will be closed. Mrs. First will just play a song on the piano. As she plays a song of invitation, and you as a Christian just want to come and find yourself a place to kneel and pray up front or kneel at your chair. But would you talk to God from your heart about that need that God wants you to talk about? Would you respond to Him? If you need to talk with one of the workers or the sponsors, then go find them and talk to them. Becoming a vessel into honor. I love that song, He's Still Working on Me, because that's my life. He's still working on me. I lay no claim to being anything. I just want to be someone that God can mold and shape. And I pray you want the same thing. Pastor Matt.
Bill, thank you for coming today, everyone, and appreciate the time that we could be in His Word, and appreciate you all coming to be with us here, and I hope that you enjoyed yourself and that we can see you down the road in the near future. We're going to close in prayer. We'll be dismissed. If you have any questions or need anything, let me know. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the simple but important truth that we are all vessels of something. Help us to be vessels unto honor. Help us to desire to be purged and clean and usable. Thank you that you changed Rahab the harlot to Rahab. And that you changed so many others. And you've changed us, many of us. And help us to just remember the gracious move that you made. And help us to never allow the world to fill us up with junk, but to be separate and to be clean for your use. And that it would be honorable, and you would be glorified through it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed.